Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Arroyo Grande Council meeting. This is Tuesday, August 28th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello is absent tonight. Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Ray?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Next on the agenda is our flag salute. We're very pleased this evening to have the Arroyo Grande Lions Club here to lead us in the flag salute. If you would please remain standing for our invocation. Pastor Robert Banker is here from the Open Door Church to do that for us.
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we give thanks unto you again for our ready access to you. We're thankful that you always have a door that's open and welcome for us, and we can come to you. And Father, we pray for the council tonight and the various decisions that they must make. We thank you for the time that they spend in the betterment of the community, and we pray that you would bless them and give them wisdom and guidance. These things we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
Okay, don't sit down. We get to hear about the Lions Club. We know you've been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy, but it's the this coming month or so that's really going to be really good. As you know, our major mission is eye screening, and so with school letting in, the Lions sight trailer will be down here shortly, and we'll be going around to all the different schools and screening the kids to see which of them needs glasses and that sort of thing. And, of course, as you know, the Harvest Festival is coming up, and we always are at that with our
benefit of our audience here this evening and the audience at home. You'll notice that we're casual tonight. This is our once-a-year celebration to summer, and so this is Aloha Shirt Night. So that's why you see us up here without ties, and it sure feels a lot better. Moving on to item 5, agenda review. We have no closed session announcements. Move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only, and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6 is special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any item that is not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action that's not on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward, community comments and suggestions, this would be an opportunity. Anyone? It's agenda that the council approves in one action. Unless there is an item on consent that the council would like to pull for further discussion, clarification, or an independent vote. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any of the items that are on the consent agenda. And once again, if you're following along, tonight we're going to be taking action on consent items 8A through 8F. So first I'll turn to the public. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward on any of those consent items, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Anyone? Okay. Seeing no one, we'll close public comment on the consent agenda, and we'll bring this to the council. What is the will of the council? Any items to pull tonight? Okay. We have no items to pull. I will entertain a motion then.
I'll move that we adopt consent agenda items 8A through 8F.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, anything to read in there this evening, Mr. City Attorney?
Yes, indeed.
separate utility for secondary dwelling units, temporary permit fee waiver for nonprofit charitable events, and miscellaneous signs.
Thank you, Tim. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's nothing further, then roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Item 9 is public hearings. We have none this evening. Item 10, continued business. We have none. Item 11 is new business. 11A is consideration of a resolution approving a memorandum of agreement regarding our sphere of influence update and municipal service review. Teresa, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. The Local Agency Formation Commission, otherwise known as LAFCO, is updating the sphere of influence for our city, as well as the city of Grover Beach, the Oceano Community Services District, and the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. This draft describes service capabilities, population trends, water supply and demand, and governmental structure for these jurisdictions. Between the city and the county of San Luis Obispo. This agreement describes sphere of influence boundaries, zoning regulations, and such that would apply mutually, we would apply to the sphere areas. And with that, I want to emphasize that nothing in the memorandum of agreement obligates the city to annex these properties. And with that, I'd like to introduce to you David Church, the Executive Director of LAFCO, and he will kind of walk you through the sphere of influence study and help answer any questions.
Aloha. sorry, I didn't get the memo till late about the shirt, so unfortunately I missed an opportunity to not wear a tie. So thank you for having me tonight. My name is David Church. I'm the Executive Officer with LAFCO, and here to talk about the sphere of influence update and municipal service review that has been ongoing. Actually, now for a number of months we've been involved in actually preparing this. So talk a little bit about more of the details, just a little bit by way of definition about what a sphere of influence is, and sometimes there's confusion about it. It's really a planning area boundary. The sphere is updated every 5 years pursuant to the government code. And in this case, the 5 years is actually 8 years. And that's because the sphere can also be updated as needed. And in this case, it hasn't really been necessary or needed to do up until this point in time. And we're actually working through our LAFCO work plan. And now this particular sphere is up in terms of the work plan. The sphere does not require an annexation to take place, as I stated, and also anticipates an area that might be served in the future. And so we look at those areas, we look at the general plans of the city, and identify areas that potentially would be annexed into the city in the next 20 years, actually the next 5 years, because we'll be back in, 5 to 8 years, I would guess, updating the sphere of influence. The function of a sphere is that before a property can be annexed into the city or a jurisdiction, it does have to be inside the sphere of influence boundary. So that is one of the regulatory functions. See this small area right down here, this track, which is in the sphere. It was in the sphere actually in the mid-90s to late 90s. It remained in the sphere in 2003, and we continue to recommend it be included. Spheres, like I said, don't mean that annexations have to occur. For example, the church property that was put into the sphere in 2003 was then annexed about 3 years later. So that particular area was annexed to the city. This area right here, this little sliver, is a 9-unit subdivision in the county. It is an area that is somewhat water-challenged and occasionally with wells. And so it's being recommended for inclusion in the city sphere with the idea that at some point there might be agreed upon annexation between the property owners and the city for services in the future. And so that area has been looked at. It's already built out. There are no sewer connections. It's currently on septic. So the only reason to put it in the sphere would be for a possible future water services from the city. The city of Aurora Grande actually includes Chapter 3, which is the Municipal Service Review. Chapter 2 of the document includes the actual sphere of influence update and gets into the study of the areas that might be included into the city sphere. It also addresses some legislative factors that LAFCO is required to address, and it includes some sphere of influence maps that you just saw and some other ones as well. And this is a close-up map and one that you would find in the Chapter 2 of that particular area that we just discussed, the subdivision that has the existing built-out lots. Municipal Service Review is Chapter 3, as I indicated, and we're required to do a Municipal Service Review. This updates the prior Municipal Service Review that we completed in 2003. And what MSR does is it informs the Commission about a jurisdiction service capability. And it allows the commission, LAFCO, to make its decision about the sphere of influence based on information that's been provided by the jurisdiction. It's been reviewed by LAFCO staff, and we've actually put together the MSR that goes in front of legislative, and those are in the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. We have to address growth and population, infrastructure needs, financial ability of agencies to provide services, local accountability and governance, and any other matters that the commission would indicate that they wanted to address. Talk about the memorandum of agreement, which is on your agenda for action today, and the memorandum of agreement encourages, and currently there is one that exists between the city and the county. It encourages the city and county cooperation in terms of the sphere of influence. It is a non-binding agreement, and what that means is it allows the city and county to perform their legally mandated functions and to continue on with that. In other words, the areas that are in the sphere of influence are still subject to county land use laws at this point in time because they are not part of the city. It identifies a referral and coordination process. The city and county have agreed on the sphere boundary, and that's providing that the city council approves it, and then the Board of Supervisors approve the agreement as well. And it contains goals for future development of the SO. Those, it clarifies some of the expectations in terms of process. And the MOA, while it's not binding, it does help identify how that path is going to work and what projects might be developed in the future. Recent activities, we have completed the Sphere of Influence update in public review draft form. It was released on July 13th. We've extended the comment period out to September 14th. And we're looking for comments to be submitted and corrections to be made. And then hopefully the memorandum of agreement, if approved by your council, will be considered by the Board of Supervisors in September, and hopefully they'll approve it as well, with October being the month that LAFCO considers the sphere of influence. So just in summary, the sphere is a long-range planning tool. I think the MOA process has been very productive in terms of making the MOA a little bit more clear in terms of expectations. And staff recommendation in the document is to maintain the existing sphere, but also include those nine lots that we talked about a little earlier.
First of all, you're recommending annexation of Tract 1551, but you didn't recommend annexation, but rather a services agreement for the stables, what's it called, Silver Spur Stables in Oceano, or south of Oceano. What made you make the decision to recommend it here but not there?
Well, we're not recommending annexation at this point.
Right, but I'm sorry, but adding it into the sphere of influence.
So you're talking about the sliver, the track. Why are we adding that one in?
Why are you recommending addition for that? Because of the need for water services,
right.
But the one in Oceano you're not recommending, and you're recommending an outside services agreement.
The one in Oceano, there's some land in between Oceano and that area, and actually there's some ag land in between. And the area that's a sliver is right adjacent to the city and very close to city infrastructure.
Okay.
So that would be the reasoning there.
And then the other thing is... find it. Sorry. I'm still not good at this part. Sorry, it's loading now. On the and there's an error in it. It says that, and I confirmed this with our city manager earlier, it mentions that we could get allocation from our water, from OCSD, through either groundwater or state water, but we can't take state water. That would require a vote of the people.
Right.
So we just need to correct that in there.
And that we're looking for those kind of comments, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it.
Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you. Why in this nine-unit sliver has it not been considered before?
No, that's a good question. I think we were looking around the boundary, as we do when we update spheres, and we looked at that sliver and we said, well, why hasn't that been considered before? And there doesn't appear to be a reason why it hasn't. We studied it this time around, looking at the wells and kind of looking at that water situation out there, and the fact that there's nearby infrastructure, it seemed to make some sense. But it's not something that we're bound and determined about, I would say, but it seems to make sense from a service perspective.
And then the MOA seems to indicate, or at least in your presentation, that you're, when you do that, you're moving towards a development process. Is there more of a influence on it getting developed by having this MOA versus not having it?
I don't think so. I think what the MOA does is it clarifies some of the issues that you might want to address as you go forward with the development in the area. The sphere of influence itself indicates that that area might be annexed in the future. And so that would become part of the city at some point in the future. And the city would be doing the planning for that sphere of influence, and including ag and open space as well, which I know the city has strong policies in that regard. So I think the MOA actually strengthens the planning process in that regard.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. This is not a public hearing, but obviously it's an important issue for the city. And so we always give the public an opportunity to comment. If there's anyone in the audience who'd like to comment on this item, this would be your opportunity. Anyone? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring this back to the council. We'll start to my right with Councilmember Guthrie.
This before by being a water wheeler, and I think that actually might be a better solution here in the long run. But certainly putting it within the sphere of influence doesn't mean that we can't go in that direction as well. The other two additions, Frederick Williams, have been in our sphere of influence for some time. I think we should continue to have that there. And the other two additions, I think, were probably just kind of an oversight. We just left them out last time around because they obviously are a fit if we had willing partners. So I'm willing to support the things with the change that Council Member Ray suggested.
Okay, thank you. Council Member Ray.
I have nothing to add to Council Member Guthrie. I'll support this tonight with the change.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
Nor do I.
Okay. I'll make it unanimous. It's it makes a huge amount of sense to at least include them in our sphere. I've often wondered why we've not done it previously as well. The only thing that gives me pause is that you kind of find it difficult to believe that there are water issues out there when we've seen Newsome Springs erupt at its worst and flood the farmland and everything around it. And so
memorandum of agreement with the County of San Luis Obispo relating to the Local Agency Formation Commission proceeding to update the sphere of influence and municipal service review.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Under discussion, do we have to include with the direction for the change that Council Member Ray, or is that a separate document?
Although I'm sure Mr. Church is taking notes and he's soliciting our changes, that's actually a separate action. The memorandum and the resolution stand on their own merits. This will come back to you after the public review and all the comments are solidified and the modifications to the documents are made. And please correct me if I'm wrong. It'll go to LAFCO for approval, and subsequently it'll come back to you for formal approval of the SOI at a separate time.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Actually, so the sphere will be complete. Once LAFCO takes its action, the sphere will be completed at that point in time. So I just want to make sure that you understand that. The other thing is sending a comment letter. If you send it through staff about the comments that you have, that's perfect. We can accommodate those, and we'll incorporate those at the LAFCO hearing.
On roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Brown?
Yes.
Council Member Ray?
Yes.
Council Member Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay, does anyone have any additional comments regarding the draft SOI?
So do we need to send you a letter, or is this commentary enough?
I've already passed by email that comment.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
We're covered there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Nothing else? All right. I think we're done with that item. Thank you, David. Okay, moving on to item 12, City Council reports. I'm first on the agenda. The Council of Governments, I don't believe, has met since the last report, nor has Florida. That meeting's coming up the first Wednesday in so I have no additional information to provide at this time. And the Economic Development Element Update Committee, Teresa, we're about to wrap that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's scheduled for the Planning Commission next in, I believe it's September 18th, the
okay.
Second meeting in September.
All right, so at some point after that, the Planning Commission hears it, and the Council will be able to take a look at what we've been working on. And that concludes my report, and we will go to Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding IWMA, that has not met. They're meeting in September. Regarding the RAC, thanks to the work of Teresa and staff and other people in the county, we were awarded a $1 million planning grant which part of will go towards technical information regarding our groundwater basin, and we'll be able to move towards a water modeling plan that we've been working towards. So that's exciting news, and thanks to Teresa for her work.
As the alternate. Just a few brief things from there. They did elect several new board members. They have gone through their, I guess, bi-yearly audit. The two presentations were one by the county on both the county infrastructure needs and the county's economic development update. It was a, you know, basically what you would expect to hear, what we've been hearing is there's a lot of needs and not much funding. So nothing surprising there, but they do have a very detailed list of needs within the county. The second part of it I found a little more interesting, which was by the Workforce Industry Commission, I believe it's called. And one of their points was they're doing long-range projections about what labor needs will be. And, you know, while we're sitting here currently looking at, you know, 7-8% unemployment, they're looking at 10 years from now that they believe there'll be 29,000 to 35,000 unfilled jobs because of the number of people who live here who will be retiring in that time period, and how we will be able to fill those needs. And they divide them up into three tiers. There's sort of the upper tier we call management. The middle positions, the middle management, nurses, those kinds of positions, because we don't have the education programs in place currently that would educate people to move from the first tier to the second tier. And very few people will be able to afford to move to this area who have those skills and move in. So I found that interesting. They are putting together a whole program to address, and especially the EBC is participating in that, to address that need to the ability to take people who currently live here and get them ready to move up into those new positions. So I thought that was a very interesting part of the presentation. They have also hired a new loan person to handle their microloan program, Kelly Blue, a lot of experience with several different banks, was hired to fill that position. I'll move them on to the Homeless Services Oversight Committee. Not a lot there, a little bit embarrassing. They have hired a new director whose name I could not read my handwriting, so I can't tell your name, but I can tell you her qualifications. she comes to this area from Portland, where she has been for Before that, was in Washington, D.C. for years as a homeless advocate with a nonprofit there working directly with the federal government. So I think that this will be particularly helpful to our county in being able to position ourselves for a lot of the federal funding and those kinds of things. So even though I can't remember her name, I will tell you that she is highly qualified and going to be a great addition to our county. And I'm not sure whether I gave this SCAT report or not for the South County Area Transit or not. But I will give it again just in case I gave it. This is from way back in June, so I'm not sure whether we had reports since then. 29% increase in ridership, a good part due to high gas prices, but also some of the employment issues, but also the free youth passes that they ran this summer with has increased ridership significantly. The 4 days a week on the Avila trolley, the change was, I think I'd reported this before, but they changed the Avila trolley. Instead of running sort of weekends all year long, they decided that it would be better off to run it 4 days a week during the summer and not run it during the winter at all, and that's been very effective. It's been a very successful program. And still hit the 20% funding requirement. And right now we're running about 17. if we blend it with the RTA, we can hit the 20 pretty easily because the RTA has really high ridership and fare box return. So that remains to be seen whether we'll really see a significant growth in transportation services, even though we have more funding available, because we may not be able to meet the match. Other than that, they're doing quite well financially despite the fluctuation in gas prices. They have been able to control costs very well, and we'll come in under budget and won't be asking for an increase next year.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Councilmember Ray.
Well, my report on the EVC from July will be decidedly less interesting because there wasn't anything really that went on besides a social. So there was a short presentation by the gentleman who do the economic vitality forecast, but it centered around basically how to use Google in order to do combined research, sort of targeted research, and it wasn't really germane to us, but interesting nonetheless for what I do in my other life. Claims, and that didn't seem a whole lot different than last summer when they did the same thing. So other than just the report of the number, there was no discussion as to whether or not that number was out of character for what's normally happening there. And Tourism Committee has not met.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Moving on to item 13, City Council member items. We have none listed. City manager items? Do we have a...
None, sir.
Okay.
I've been told.
I was wondering which one of the three of you were going to respond. Okay. Council communications. Any correspondence, communications, comments, anything? All right. Moving on to item 16, staff communications. Anything?
No, sir.
All right, 17 is our final community comments and suggestions. Once again, this is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. Anyone? Thank you very much. Thank you, staff, and we are adjourned. Yay.